Good morning. My name is Nathan Hart, and I also work in campus ministries here at Hope College as the dean of the chapel. Our scripture this morning is Psalm 127, and there are pew Bibles placed throughout this chapel. Please retrieve one of those pew Bibles from the sleeve in front of you. I realize there are not enough to go around, so I hope that you will huddle around somebody who's holding a Bible, Psalm 127. If you're not near a Bible, that's okay. We'll be displaying the scripture on the screen behind me as well. But I want all the Bibles in this room opened up, please. Psalm 127, I think it's on page 499 of the Pew Bible. Psalm 127, it's right in the middle of the Bible. Everybody there? Look up at me once you found it. I see, good, a lot of faces. Now, before we dig into the scripture for today, I want to just point something out, something that we just did together. Students, I really want you to hear this. Before you open any of your textbooks or laptops for school, we've opened God's Word. Before you open your textbooks, here at Hope College, we open God's Word together because the leadership here at Hope College believes that what's in the Bible is God's Word. It's God's truth. The Bible says that all truths point to God's truth. Jesus said that at the Last Supper to his disciples. So all the things you're about to learn over the next 4 years, if they are true, ultimately they will point you to God. But we start the year by opening up, by hearing from God first. And I believe that in Psalm 127, there's a good word here for you students and for you parents. So before we get into it, let me pray for God's inspiration of the reading of his word. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for speaking through your Bible. Lord, now that we've opened up this page in your word, I pray that you would open us up too, so that you can pour into us, you can speak into us. Who better to hear from than our Creator? So speak, Lord. I pray that the same Holy Spirit who inspired the psalmist to write Psalm 127 would be right here in this room, inspiring us for understanding. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A reading from Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guard keeps watch in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives sleep to his beloved. Daughters and sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons and daughters of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, the first couple of verses here, I really think contain a good word for you students. I'm going to begin addressing you students. The first word here is from verse 1. I really want you to hear this. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Now, students, sometime today, probably, or this weekend, your parents, if they're here with you, they're going to leave. And whether you've thought about this or not, today then begins a new chapter in your life. The household of origin that brought you to this place is going to drive back to the house from which you came, and today you're on your own, which means you are beginning to build something. You're beginning to build a new house, as it were, or a new life. And hear this word, knowing that today is the first day of the rest of your life. It's the first day where you are building this new life. Now here, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord constructs the foundation of your life, those who build it labor in vain. What does it mean for you today to begin building this new house, this new life, but allowing the Lord to be your foundation, allowing the God of the Bible to build your life for you and with you? Well, it begins by doing exactly what we're doing right now. We've opened the Word together. We've worshiped God together. We do this here in this room every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and Sunday night. That's a great way for you as you're beginning to build your new life, to do it on the foundation of the Lord, is to come into His presence, to worship Him as we've been doing today, and to hear from His Word. Jill, who just prayed for us a moment ago, she stewards lots of Bible studies, small groups that happen all across campus. 400 and something students are involved in this. You can join one of those. You can open God's Word together with other students. Most of those meet in the Heights, which we're going to meet at after this gathering. We have immersion trips on spring break where we can learn more about God's global family. So you want to build your life on the Lord, you can come to chapel, you can come to the gathering, you can join a small group Bible study, you can go on a small spring break immersion trip. Now it's possible that somebody here is hearing this thinking kind of cynically, oh, this guy's just kind of trying to get people involved in his program to come to chapel. I do hope you'll come to chapel, but maybe Hope College Campus Ministries isn't the place where you connect well with God. We have a list on our website, on the Hope Campus Ministries website, of local churches that you could go and belong to. If that's a place where you can better build your life upon the foundation of God, we encourage you to go to one of those. Because I want you to consider what the alternative is. The alternative to building your life on the foundation of God, of letting the Lord build your house, the alternative to that, well, it's described here in the next verse. The alternative to that is trying to do it all on your own. Trying to build your life on your own strength. Trying to build your life with your own cleverness, your own work, your own savvy. And I want you to see in verse 2 this interesting picture that's painted by the psalmist of what that looks like if we try to do everything on our own. Look with me at Psalm 127, verse 2. It's in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives sleep to his beloved. It's in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest. This is a picture of somebody who's just working so hard to get it right, working so hard to figure it out, working so hard to build their life on their own self. But the Bible says it's in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest. And look at this word picture that the psalmist gives us, eating the bread of anxious toil. Some years ago when my kids were younger, they were in grade school, my wife and I had the bright idea to take a trip to Alaska, which was lovely. But on our way back from Alaska, we made the mistake of flying the red eye. We flew through the night with grade school age kids, which means they missed a night of sleep and they missed at least one meal. Any parents out here made that same mistake? You don't have to raise your hand. This is a time of confession. And we flew back in to JFK. We were living in the New York City area at the time, and we were so hungry and we were so grumpy. We were hangry. You know this phrase, hangry? All four of us, my wife and I and our two kids. We were going through the airport. We were so hangry, and we walked past one of those stores in the airport terminal, and one of my kids spotted Pringles on the shelf. And those Pringles looked so good to all of us. So we bought a can of Pringles, and we consumed that can of Pringles in about 5 seconds. I can feel the saltiness on my lips. It was so good. It was so good going in. But no less than 20 or 30 minutes later, we all realized to something, those Pringles just burned up in our gut. And we were hangrier than we were before we ate those stupid Pringles. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. If we're trying to build our life on our own work, on our own savvy, on our own cleverness, wondering if we're going to measure up, it's a little bit like eating Pringles. It will never satisfy. We're eating the bread of anxious toil. Does anybody here feel anxious that you're not going to measure up? Anybody here anxious that you don't have what it takes? I heard somebody the other day stressing out so much that they didn't get a Wuzu fan. Like their hallmates all somehow got the memo to get a Wuzu fan. They missed the memo on the Wuzu fan. It's a little bit like eating the bread of anxious toil. Do you have what it takes? Can you make the right image for yourself? Can you get the grades? The Bible says it's in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest. And I love the way this verse concludes, verse 2, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he, God, gives sleep to his beloved. He gives sleep. You know, students, you have a lot of work to do ahead in the next 4 years. But according to the Bible, you can rest too. You can rest. The Bible calls it the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath, you can take one full day off every week. where you don't have to work, you don't have to strive, you don't have to eat the bread of anxious toil. You can rest on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is one full rotation of the earth on its axis, which means that for 6 days, we can tease ourselves, kid ourselves that we can make the world go round, but on the seventh day we rest. We don't do any work on the Sabbath, and we let the earth go in one full rotation on its axis, remembering that it's God who makes the world go round. It's His work, ultimately, that matters. And on the Sabbath here at Hope College, we do something really wonderful and special that I want to invite you into. On Sunday evenings at 8 o'clock, we gather back in this room and we worship together as we've done this morning. But then we take a meal together that's a lot different than airport Pringles. That's a lot different than the bread of anxious toil. We take communion together. We take bread and we dip it in juice and we remember the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The bread symbolizes His body, which was broken for us on the cross. The juice symbolizes His blood, which was spilled for us on the cross. What happened on the cross is that Jesus took the penalty. He took the punishment for all of our sins. Jesus did something on the cross for us that we cannot do for ourselves. And one of the things He said when He was on the cross, He said, "It is finished." What was He talking about there? He was talking about the work that is necessary for our salvation. He finished that work. And when we take that bread and we take that juice on Sunday nights, we remember and we believe that the most important work we will ever do in our lives has already been done for us. Students, you have a lot of essays to write, a lot of research to do. A lot of part-time jobs that you'll have. You have a lot of work to do over the next 4 years, but hear this. The most important work of your entire life, it's already finished. It's already finished. It's been done for you. You got an A. God has given you His grace. He's done something for you that you cannot do for yourselves. So what would it look like then to spend the next 4 years of your life not eating the bread of anxious toil, but taking in more and more of the grace of God in Jesus Christ, knowing that the most important work is already behind you, it's already been done, and now all of your work going forward as you build this life upon God is given as a grateful response to the good gift you've already been given, the finished work of Jesus. I don't know about you, but that frees me up a little bit. That makes me relax. That makes me realize I can take a day off. I can observe the Sabbath. Now, this might make some of your parents a little bit nervous. Oh, the dean of the chapel says you can take a day off. Now, they're going to use this as an excuse. Here's the thing. Somebody pointed out to me once in the Ten Commandments on the Sabbath law. It says, 6 days you shall labor, and on the seventh day you shall rest. Don't forget the labor part too. If your parents call you on Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock and you're just hanging out and they say, "What are you doing?" You say, "I'm Sabbathing. Nathan said I could Sabbath. 6 days you shall labor, and on the seventh day you shall rest." But do deeply rest in knowing that the most important work has already been accomplished for you. So students, that's how you can build your life. This new life that begins for you today. Coming to chapel or a local church, getting in the Word, observing the Sabbath, and taking communion, remembering what Jesus did for you on the cross. But there's a word in here also for you parents. Verse 3 is, I believe, a timely and good word for those of you dropping your kids off at college. Let's go to the Word together to find out what God has for you parents. Verse 3, daughters and sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Now, I was tempted to preach on the word heritage and reward so you can think about what that means. Your child is a heritage, your child is a reward. I have a feeling most of you already get that. You know that your kids are like a reward. They're like a prize for you. But I was talking about this with the staff of Campus Ministries, and one of the wise staff pointed out, look at this phrase, from the Lord. Daughters and sons are a heritage from the Lord. This is a wise word for you. Remember, on a day like today, your kids are from the Lord. Your kids have a God. And the same God that you have is the God of your kids. As you drive away from here, remember that your kids have a God. Let me put it really pointedly. Some of you might need to hear this. Your kids have a God, and it's not you. Your kids have a Creator, Your kids have a redeemer. Your kids have a sustainer. And when you drive away from this campus, God's not leaving your kid. Your children are a heritage from the Lord. But look with me in verse 4, this amazing metaphor. I love these word pictures in Scripture. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons and daughters of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. The word picture here in the Psalms is that your child is like an arrow. In your household is like a quiver. A quiver would be this pack that they would have on their backs where they would put the arrow so that they can pull it out and shoot it, right? You can picture the quiver. In our day and age, we say nest. We're empty nesters if our eggs or birds or whatever have left the nest. But in Bible times, the picture was a quiver. You're blessed if your quiver is full of arrows. And parents, you've done a good job forming and shaping these arrows. Whether you have 8 kids in your household or 1 kid in your household, your quiver has been full of these arrows. But I want to point something out that's very important. I learned this some years ago from a Bible teacher of mine that I traveled to Israel with. He said, let's take this metaphor to its fullest conclusion. The Bible says that you're blessed in your youth when your quiver is full of arrows. But let's think for a moment about the purpose of that arrow. The purpose of the arrow, the purpose of your children, the purpose of the arrow is not to remain in the quiver, is it? The purpose of the arrow is to be drawn out of the quiver, to leave the nest, as it were, and then ultimately to reach its target. And when you pull the arrow out of the quiver and you load it up into the arrow, this is kind of what's happening this weekend, isn't it? Your kid's about to launch. And notice what happens with me. Notice if I'm holding this bow and arrow, if I keep holding on. You know what's happening here? This is called tension. Oh, I hit a nerve, guys. Anyone felt any tension this weekend? Yeah. You know what you have to do, right, parents? In the wise words of the prophet Queen Elsa, let it go, let it go. Yes, the arrow in your quiver will never reach its target if you hold on to the tension. You have to let it go. I think that one hit a nerve. Now, I don't know what this looks like practically in your household. If it means deleting Life 360 today. Woo, now he's preaching. I'm not saying you have to delete Life 360. God is saying your child is like an arrow in the quiver that needs to be launched out into this world. I'm not saying you need to stop calling and texting your child 5 times a day. The Bible is saying that your child is an arrow that needs to be launched out into this world. So many knowing laughs in the room. Wow. So there's a good word in here, isn't there? You see why we begin our semester opening the Bible before we open all the textbooks. What's in the textbooks is good as well. But when we begin with the wisdom of God, who better to go to than the one who created us? He knows what we need. He knows the instruction that we need to hear. I'd like to invite the praise team back up here because I thought what might be a good exercise for us, parents and students. By the way, parents, this is the first day of the rest of your life too. You can build your life on the firm foundation of God as well. But together, what I thought might be a good exercise for us, parents, students, everybody who's in the room, is to kind of sing together a declaration. There's a beautiful song that we've got ready for us today, and it's called Build My Life. Build My Life. So I invite you to stand as we sing this together. Make this declaration, whether you're a parent or a student or a visitor, and let's build our lives on the firm foundation of God.